say that, you know, you appreciate them. That's how most people get here. They get invited. Just remember that this is not, I'm not trying to convert anybody. The thought is there is nothing to fear. And if there's nothing to fear, simply states a fact. That there's nothing to fear is not a fact to those who believe in their fear. But your fears are not facts. In truth, there is nothing to fear. It's very easy to recognize there is nothing to fear. But it's very difficult to recognize there is nothing to fear for those who want their fears to be true. It's very hard to recognize that there's nothing to fear. So our practice period during this meditation is just to repeat the idea silently to yourself. There is nothing to fear. You might repeat that idea as often as possible. Sometimes with your eyes open, at any time, in any situation. But whenever possible, it's recommended that you just take a breath, close your eyes, and repeat very slowly to yourself, there is nothing to fear. It's particularly important that you use the idea that there is nothing to fear. Use that idea immediately should anything disturb your peace of mind. Use the idea there is nothing to fear immediately if anything is disturbing your peace of mind. The presence of fear, feeling fear, is a sure sign that you are trusting in your own strength, separate from God's, the Creator's. The awareness that there is nothing to be afraid of, the awareness that there's nothing to fear, shows that somewhere in your mind, you feel in your heart as if there's nothing to fear. It shows that somewhere in your mind, though not necessarily in a place you recognize as yet, you have remembered God. You have remembered union. You have remembered that you are not alone. And you have let the strength of love take the place of weakness in your awareness. If you feel like there's nothing to fear, at some level, maybe at a level you don't even recognize yet, you have let the presence of God substitute for your weakness or fear. The instant you're willing to let the strength of the Creator substitute for your own sense of weakness or fear, there is nothing to fear. So we're going to take about 5 minutes to focus in on this idea. You can say it silently within yourself, or you can say it with me, whatever feels the most comfortable for you right now. But we're going to focus in on the idea, there is nothing to fear. 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 There is nothing to fear in this situation. There is nothing to fear in that situation. There is nothing to fear in this situation. There is nothing to fear in that situation. There is nothing to fear in this situation. There is nothing to fear in that situation. There is nothing to fear in this situation. There is nothing to fear in that situation. There is nothing to fear in this situation. There is nothing to fear in that situation. There is nothing to fear. 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 There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. There is 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 nothing to fear. And right after hearing that, it's really cool how the Course in Miracles says in the guidelines, it says, some of these ideas you will find hard to believe. And then it says, others may seem to be quite startling. This doesn't matter. You are merely asked to apply the ideas as you are directed to do. You are not asked to judge the ideas at all. You are asked only to use the ideas. It is their use that will give the ideas meaning to you. It's their use that will show you that the ideas are true. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. None of this will matter or decrease their efficacy. But don't allow yourself to make exceptions in applying the ideas. Whatever your reactions to the ideas may be, use them. Whatever your reactions to the ideas may be, use them. Nothing more than that is required. That's funny, because you're usually trying to make sure you believe it before you use it. And the Course is saying, well, if you use it, you'll see that it's true. So using it is the quickest way to get it. So I'm going to continue on chapter 5. And I've got a couple of some extra books over here if anybody wants to follow along and borrow it. Just try to remember to leave it. And I'm going to be on page 74. I'm in the chapter that introduces the concept of the Holy Spirit, the concept of us having guidance, the concept of us having guides. When I cover the parts of the Course that deals with surrendering to guidance, listening to guidance, and listening to something greater than yourself, usually that's when the class drops off. And also when I talk about happiness. In 27 years of doing this, there are certain patterns that I've had a chance to watch, and there are certain subjects when I talk about that I've always noticed that the group is always larger when you're talking about the problem, and the group is always smaller when you talk about the answer or how to get out of it. That's just right across the board. Most people feel comfortable with their problems because they know how to manipulate and maneuver around that. They know their story, and their life is based on their story, and they've got everything reasoned out according to their story. When you talk about the answer, you're talking about getting outside of the story, and so therefore you're going into the unknown. And if a person does not feel like they truly deserve to be happy, and this is not a conscious decision, but at a subconscious level, they don't feel like they really deserve to be happy, and they feel unworthy, and they feel like they need to be punished because of guilt from the past, then as soon as you go into love, reward, joy, happiness, at a subconscious level, not a conscious level, but at a subconscious level, their ego moves them away from that. And it's not conscious. So one of the things I love about the Course is that it taught me how to stalk my own ego. It taught me how to stalk that part of my own mind that tries to sabotage my happiness. Because at first, I didn't know it was there because I was busy projecting and blaming it on everybody and everything else. So I saw everybody and everything else as the cause of my unhappiness, and that kept me from recognizing that the enemy was in my own mind. Because it's so much easier to blame other people than to take responsibility for your own happiness. Let's face it, it looks like it's other people, so why shouldn't you say so?
Right.
You know, it looked like daddy did it to you, so that's the answer. And so one of the things that the Course says often is that if you really want to become enlightened, you have to go beyond the obvious. You have to go beyond, because obviously, if the obvious was the answer, we'd already be in utopia.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's like handling everything the way it's always been handled and believing what everybody already believes was the answer. We'd already have the situation solved, which opens up to me the possibility that maybe not only is the answer different from what I've been taught, it probably will be something that I have some resistance to because it's so different. So the Holy Spirit, from a Course in Miracles perspective, is I do this little diagram to kind of make it a little bit easier before I go through this section, because it's such a powerful chapter. The chapter, it can save you so much pain and suffering. That's why I'm always happy for the people who do hang. Because I know that when we get through it, those people are always on another level of consciousness. You know, and so that's what excites me about teaching it. You know, because you always end up with the people who really it resonates to right now. Because I know that there are many ways of getting the truth, and this isn't the only way. So
everybody's going to be all right. I'm happy for them. But I'm happy that the people are here, the ones that want to be, so we can go. So basically, there's one little thing I want to add to this to make it a little bit more less separate. Okay, this is a really strange circle, but that's what it is. Okay? And this circle represents you, and it represents your mind. So what I'm about to describe is all, according to the Course, it's all going on inside your mind. It's not really separate. It just looks like it is. Just like we're not really separate, we just look like we are. And we do a darn good job of it, you know. So the Course is saying, you know, God or our Creator is in communication with the part of us called the Holy Spirit, which is nothing but the part of us that's the loving mind, the part of us that's still in touch with home base. And all of us have a part of us that's still in touch with the love that created us. The Holy Spirit is nothing but that part of us that's aware still of the truth, as represented by God, but at the same time is aware of all of the illusions and beliefs that you have. So it's the Course calls the Holy Spirit the intermediary. It's the part of my mind that's aware of the truth, but it's also the part of my mind that's aware that I got a whole lot of untruths in my mind. Got that? Okay, so the Holy Spirit inside of you is constantly trying to give you the information you need in order to have peace in your life all the time. And this voice is always communicating, but it has one little problem. It's gentle. And so we're not in a society or world that usually teaches in a gentle way. We're much more used to learning through pain, through conflict, through somebody arguing at us, attacking us, you know, broken into by periods where we go to the movie or dance or something, you know what I'm saying? So we're used to fear broken into by what we call fun before we're afraid of something else or upset about something else. That's us. Okay, so the Course, and also we're interpreting our experience based on our past experiences and past learning. Can we all pretty much agree on that?
Yeah.
That everything you believe is really you just sharing with me what you've learned based on your experiences. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. So that means that everything you see, you are assigning meaning to it based on what you believe to be true. Is this true?
Yes.
Okay. So that doesn't mean that's necessarily the way it is then, right? Right. You're just assigning what you think is true about it. So the Course, and that's one of the crucial concepts that the Course in Miracles taught me to save my life. Lesson number 2 in the workbook. I give everything I see all the meaning that it has for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first lesson in the workbook is nothing I see means anything, which upsets people as soon as they start the workbook. It's like people mean to get into the workbook, and then they'll see, what you mean, my dog fido don't mean nothing? You know, they take it all personal, and they get all, you mean my child don't mean nothing? I'm going to break this to you, but your child really doesn't mean anything to anybody but you and those who think like you about your child. Your child doesn't inherently have meaning in the world. Fido don't mean the same thing to me as Fido means to you. I don't feel about Fido the same way you do. So nothing we see does mean anything until we give it meaning. Okay, is everybody with me on that? That's why most people get upset. It's because they expect other people to assign the meanings that they have assigned to things. So if I said smoking is wrong, everybody shouldn't smoke because that's the meaning I've assigned to it. You see what I mean? It's like people are always getting angry at their meanings. It's your meanings that's making you mad. It's the meaning I say. So the point that the reason why I'm saying it is because that's what Course would define as the ego. You hear the Course constantly talk about the ego. It's like, what is this ego thing? So the ego is nothing but the part of your mind that has learned that you're separate and learned what the world has taught you. And then we identify with what we've learned as us. You know, that's why when you say Earl Purdy, then I'll answer. That means I accepted that meaning. You say Earl Purdy, black guy, I answer. Because I accepted that. Because if I had been born in a society that taught me I was a giraffe, I wouldn't respond if you called me Earl Purdy, black guy. You'd have to call me giraffe. Because that's what I learned. And that's what I think I am. Do you follow me on that?
Yeah.
So that's true of everything. That's true of all of us. what we think of and we're so adamantly defending in most cases are just what we've, it's just what we've learned. And then we identify with what we've learned, and then we become defensive if someone says something that threatens that, because we built a whole world around that definition. So when someone challenges your beliefs, people get upset because their whole world rests on their beliefs. And so if you pull any of those beliefs out, their world as they know it might collapse, because they built everything around that idea. So your ego is nothing but the ideas that you have, that you've learned, and that you've made up about yourself. And the Course says you can always tell the ideas that did not come from God or did not come from love, because those are always the ideas that make you feel fear, conflict, separation, depression, lack, anger, sickness, and everything else that doesn't bring you into peace. Those thoughts are not coming from God. They're not coming from love. They're coming from fear. We don't know we are creators, and so we don't realize that as creators, we create what we think, and what we believe becomes our perception of the world. So if I feel that I'm afraid, and I feel that I'm separate, and I feel like I'm not enough, I'm going to join with those thoughts. This is me. I'm joining with my old learning. This is me. I'm joining with my old learning. And then I see the world that reflects my learning. Everybody with me on that?
Yes.
But I had to have a union before I could perceive it. And what was the union? It was me and my old thoughts. Me and my ego. Me listening to that old crap that I've always told myself about myself and others. That produces a perception of a fearful world. That's where people see fear. All right, so what we're learning in this chapter is how to recognize the loving mind, the Holy Spirit, the higher self, whatever word you want to use, the part of us that speaks for truth and sanity, spirit. And we want to, us, join with that new learning, which is what like the Course represents. And when you join with the new learning, then you perceive a loving world. Notice that I got the loving world completely opposite from the fearful world. So what does that mean? That means that a person who is in tune with the love and spirit within themselves, they perceive a world diametrically opposite from the person that's full of fear, anger, guilt, and separation. So if you try to tell the person in fear, anger, and guilt, and separation about the loving, peaceful experience, they say, you're insane, you are airy-fairy, you need to get real.
You're unrealistic.
Yeah, you're unrealistic. Because, see, they have a fearful mind that's perceiving a fearful world, so they feel justified. So when you try to go from the part of your mind that's afraid to the part of your mind that's loving, in that in-between state, you become disoriented and confused. So confusion is a very high state on the spiritual path.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious about that. Because if you're confused, it means you've begun to let go of your old ideas, but you haven't completely embraced the new ones yet. And people try to avoid that stage. And when they're in that stage, they usually punk out and go running right back to what the world teaches again, because they can't stand the disorientation and confusion, as if they're not used to being disoriented and confused. That ought to be the easiest stage of all for us. But it's funny that that's what everybody says, the hard part. Oh, like you're clear all the time, right? So you just can't handle a little confusion, right? This is what we just call it in the hood. You know, punking out. So anyway,
I gave that all the meaning it has for me.
Right. Well, see, it's like the easiest way for me to teach is just to be myself.
Yeah.
And sometimes it brings me up against people's idea of what a teacher's supposed to be like, their idea of what a minister's supposed to be like, their idea about what this is supposed to be like. And so a lot of times you have a hard time getting to the real person, because you got to get past their beliefs about what they think you ought to be like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so every time I come in here, it's like I always have to remember, just be Earl. That's always just be you. And anybody that gets offended, then they'll reject you, and therefore they will protect you from them. And so never hold back being yourself, because you'll have a lot of people hanging around you who can't accept you, and then you never can be yourself, and you stay frustrated all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But most people are afraid of that moment when they're really themselves and they may be rejected. And they don't know that in truth, that's the moment in which you choose for joy. Because that's the moment you lose the people who can't appreciate who you are. And only the part of you that's fearful and the part of you that doesn't love you would even want to try to get them back. Because that part of you needs them to keep the fear and conflict going that allows you to feel separate. So they're really like enabling you to stay separate from God. Or love. Does that make sense? So if I don't love myself, I'll never be attracted to somebody that treats me with respect and love. And if I do love myself, I'll never accept someone who doesn't. So you can tell where your own thoughts are about yourself by the intimate associates you choose. If you want to know what level of consciousness you're on, you're on no higher level of consciousness than your most intimate relationships. Some people, that depresses them and they want to kill themselves. Some people when they hear that, they're like, oh, I must really be growing, because the people in my personal life, they're primo. That's the way I feel. It's like the people in my life now, in my personal circle of teachers, as I call them, all of them, cool. I don't have anybody I'm upset with right now who's upset with me. You know, I get along with my children. I get along with my family. Everybody who I thought in my old mind was impossible and would never change, the most amazing thing happened. I changed, and then they changed. Whoever would have thought that would have been the way that I would have got along with my relatives? You have to kind of watch learning this stuff and then using that against everybody you know. You know, because now I'm more conscious, so now I can judge them even more than before. I see their flaws even clearer now because I'm so much more enlightened. All right, so everybody with me on this?
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason why I wanted to share this is so that it will be a lot easier to get this across. Okay, so I'm going to read the rest of this section. Now, if you're new to the course, I promise you, you will go unconscious before I finish, but I will come back and say it again. Okay? Even if you think you're the most alert, brilliant, spiritual scholar that ever lived, before I finish this, you will go unconscious. Okay, watch. Was that the top line?
Yeah, new.
It was new learning. I erased it with my finger, okay. But it's new learning. Yeah. I like to look at it like that, new learning. There's nothing harder than to choose for love when you're used to being in a fearful mind. So I acknowledge anybody that's willing to go for this. Your old self is going to fight you tooth and nail. It's going to try to draw you back into the old thought system by trying to point out every hole in everything I say that it can come up with. So you find that a part of the mind, instead of wanting to listen in terms of how it can benefit from what I'm saying, a part of the mind is going to be listening for flaws. It's going to be listening for, that couldn't work. I don't believe that. It couldn't happen that way. You see what I'm saying? Forgetting that my whole purpose in saying this is to take you to a loving perception of the world. I wish I was as discriminating about not listening to God as I am about the other stuff in my life.
Yeah.
I wish people were as discriminating about their spiritual development as things that are outside of their spiritual development as they are about things related to spirit. You want to find people get really, really conscious and really want to check things out? Let it be anything that has to do with self-help, opening your mind, becoming more loving, or getting in touch with God. Then everybody's cult fear is up. I'm going to make sure that you're not here to get me. I don't want you. So you don't have to worry about that. You know what I mean? No conscious being wants to get anybody. You always work the hardest with the people you have to get. Who needs a get? You want somebody that's open and sharing and giving and free. And you don't want somebody you got to convince. You got to keep on convincing them. You never get through convincing them. Sad. They think they won up on you anyway because you were the one trying so hard to get them when they didn't want you. So it tempts them to manipulate you.
Sure.
Because they feel like, I must really have you. You working so hard. You know how the ego works. We all know how the ego works. You know. Yeah. I know you've had people like that. So the Course says, the Holy Spirit, chapter 5, we'll read paragraph 6 on through. It says, the Holy Spirit is the Christ mind which is aware of the knowledge that lies beyond perception. The Holy Spirit came into being with the separation as a protection, inspiring the atonement, which is the undoing of fear principle, at the same time. Before that, there was no need for healing because no one was comfortless. The voice of the Holy Spirit is the call to atonement, which is the restoration of the integrity of the mind. I love that. When the atonement, which is the restoration of the integrity of the mind, is complete, and the whole sonship, that's us, the creation, is healed, there will be no call to return. But what God creates is eternal. That's a very important difference. What God creates is eternal. The Holy Spirit, which is the voice for God, which reestablishes the integrity of our mind, he says the Holy Spirit will remain with us. The sons of God is not a masculine man term. It means the minds of love. It will remain with us to bless our creations and keep them in the light of joy. It says God honored even the miscreations of his children because they made them. But God also blessed God's children with a way of thinking that would raise their perception so high that the children of God could reach almost back to God. The Holy Spirit is the mind of the atonement. It's the mind of the restoration of the integrity of the mind. So the Holy Spirit, notice that the Course is giving one definition of the Holy Spirit after another definition of the Holy Spirit after another definition of the Holy Spirit. That's all I've been saying. Holy Spirit is. Holy Spirit is. And you know what happens a lot after you say that, that you go through all that about what the Holy Spirit is? Somebody inevitably asks you, what is the Holy Spirit? You know why? Because they didn't hear the explanation. They didn't hear what they believed the Holy Spirit was. So they say, well, what is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the mind of the atonement. The Holy Spirit represents a state of mind close enough to one-mindedness that transfer to one-mindedness is at last possible. Perception is not knowledge, but perception can be transferred to knowledge. Perception can cross over into knowledge. It might even be more helpful here to use the literal meaning of transferred or carried over, since the last step is taken by God. The Holy Spirit, now he's going to do it again. He's going to tell you, okay, you didn't get it that way. When you're reading the Course, keep reading, because the mind that created the Course knows that you won't understand it. And so it teaches it like you don't know what it's saying. So if you don't go back and you keep going forward, you'll eventually always get an answer you recognize. So when you're reading the Course, keep going forward. Don't go back and don't stop on a place in the book that you think you're going to stay with until you understand it. It's a trick. Every time you go, well, I'm going to read that over and over again until I get it. That's a trick. Because the truth is, you'll find out later you did understand exactly what it said. You just weren't ready to accept it and do it yet. And when you're not ready to do something, the Course says the first thing you tell yourself is, I don't understand. And that's just the way not to do it. Yeah. So that, watch, I don't understand in that sense. Let me give you an example. It says the Holy Spirit come or the shared inspiration of all the sonship. Well, see, that was a definition right there. The Holy Spirit is our shared inspiration. He says the Holy Spirit or the loving mind, those of you who want to get past the religious terminology, you can always use love. The loving mind, he says, induces a kind of perception in which many elements are like those in the kingdom of heaven itself. The Course in Miracles calls where we really came from the reality of love that we were created in before we went into this illusion of separation. The Course calls that heaven. So it's not heaven isn't a place. Heaven is a state of being, our true place, who we truly are, what we really are. So people have a tendency to say, call something reality when it's harsh and painful. They'll say, you know, get real usually means, you know, get fearful. Get real means look at the more fearful aspect of it. So the Course is saying just the opposite. So it's just the opposite. Reality is what's loving, and it's the dream or the fantasies that you have that's causing you pain. And see, we got it reversed. We think all of our joy comes from our fantasies, and all our pain is coming from our reality. The Course says it's just the opposite. All your pain is coming from your fantasies. And all your joy will come from the reality that you were really created in by something that created you. Because a fantasy is trying to satisfy yourself according to false needs. Because a fantasy is something that's not there. And nobody can be satisfied by something that's not there. I'll say it again.
Please.
There's no way you can be... Right. There's no... Exactly. Because what? And based on what I said, why would a person go unconscious?
I missed it completely. I was thinking about something completely different.
Right. Okay. Right. And why do you think that was happening?
Because I didn't want to hear it.
Thank you.
Because I wanted to think about something completely different.
Right.
Which is what I did.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so if a person was to understand that they're going to do that, realize that they're going to do that, make it okay to do that, then they're going to go ahead and keep going anyway, because you've already been told that that's what you're going to do while you're trying to go to a new learning. You're going to have resistance from the old one. So you wouldn't let your unconsciousness stop you. You would just go, oh, okay, I went unconscious on that, and I'll just take up where I left off. Why? Because it's the truth. If it's the truth that you're learning, it's going to say the same thing again, so you'll get a chance to get it when you're conscious.
So clear.
Yeah, it's not like it's going to expire. And so during that time when you were unconscious, you missed your big opportunity. That's sorry. You was unconscious in that moment. You know. And here's another question I want to throw out to you. A person who really wants to get past pain must ask themselves, do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? That's a very important question to ask yourself. If you want to be right, then you're not going to be happy. Because if you're unhappy, you don't want to be right.
Correct.
If you're unhappy, you want that situation not to be right. If I'm miserable with you, I don't want to be right about all I can have is misery with you. I don't want to be right when I'm miserable. Mm-hmm. So I've learned through the course that when something is causing me pain or fear or conflict or upset, to say to the universe, God, whatever word you want to use, you know, I hope I'm wrong. I want another way to look at it. See, I don't want to be right about my financial situation. I don't want to be right about the relationship that doesn't work. I don't want to be right about what they said about I couldn't be healed and I couldn't be cured of this illness. I don't want to be right about I can never have a job, I'm happy. I don't want to be right about I'll always be alone. I don't want to be right about I never have time to take a vacation. Well, in other words, you don't want to be right about miserable circumstances. You want to be happy. Mm-hmm. And you want to be happy so much. Now, this is the catch. You want to be happy so much that you're willing to receive an answer you didn't make up. You want to be happy so much you're willing to hear something that you didn't think of. You want to be happy so much you're willing to hear a solution that didn't come from your mind. Now that's when you know you're ready. That you want to be happy, period. You don't have no conditions on it. I want to be peaceful, period. Okay? So the Course is saying that the first thing that happens when you're using the perception of the Holy Spirit is that the universality is perfectly clear. No one who attains the Holy Spirit's vision and perception or love's vision and perception could believe for one instant that sharing it involves anything but gain. So when I'm looking at something the way that God or love wants me to look at it, I will be absolutely certain that if I share that perception, I benefit from it and everybody else does too. Which is exactly the way I feel about what I'm sharing with you right now. I feel like it benefits me and I feel like it benefits you. So it passed the first test. The second test is that the Holy Spirit or love's perception or correct perception, I'm giving you alternative terms, it says it is incapable of attack and therefore truly open. This means that although a loving perception doesn't engender knowledge, a loving perception doesn't obstruct knowledge in any way. So, what I'm sharing with you now is not an attack on you, right? Also, it seems truly open. I'm saying it's okay for you to do it, okay for you not to do it. It also doesn't engender knowledge. The reason why it doesn't engender knowledge is because pretty much none of us, if we were completely honest, we'd have to admit we are not absolutely 100% certain about anything. Knowledge is absolute, total certainty. So I'm hearing this, but I'm not absolutely, totally, 100% down to my toes certain. Everybody in with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so this was what? A loving perception that didn't attack us. It's open, but it's not knowledge. But you know what's so cool about having a perception that's open, even though you're not completely sure about it? It doesn't block knowledge. It means if knowledge did want to get to us, the truth wanted to get to us, we're open enough to let it in. So it passed the second test of coming from love. The last one is, finally, a loving perception of the Holy Spirit points the way beyond the healing that it brings. So then a person reading the course will go, what does it mean to be pointed the way beyond the healing that the loving perception brings? Well, the whole book is synonymous. So all you have to do is go to the second half of the sentence and go, Well, he's saying that my mind is about to be led beyond its own integration toward the paths of creation. In other words, I'm going to be led beyond letting go of my fear to what knowledge and love actually is. Because first I got to get rid of my fear before I can really know anything and really have any love. So what we're going through and what we're doing right now is going to lead us beyond our own healing. It's almost like a person who wants to run a race breaks their leg. They have their leg healed so that they can continue to run the race. So the healing just prepared them to go beyond the healing. The healing wasn't the end of it all. So us getting to the point that we have healed, loving, peaceful mind is actually the beginning that allows us to move toward the things we really want. And people act like the healing is the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is I'm going to have peace, and the ultimate goal is I'm not going to feel bad about myself. That's like saying the ultimate goal is for me to have my broken leg fixed, when the ultimate goal for the runner is to get back in the race. And he wants to get his leg fixed so he can get to the finish line. So the course is not the end. The course is the beginning. I'm just getting to the point that I love myself enough to start being creative and having a really wonderful time in my world. But I had to get rid of all my grievances and blame and projection and all that crap before I could get to the point that I could start being a creative, loving being. It's like coming from the basement up to the first floor. That's what most of us are doing. We're just trying to get out the friggin' basement. And we think the first floor is the goal. If I could just get to the first floor, then now I'm back. No, that's where you need to start to go upstairs. So we're just getting to the point where we start treating ourselves right and letting ourselves have what we deserve to have. You know, but the people in the basement arguing with each other. Whose way out of the basement is the right way? What is my way out of the basement? No, it's my way. Your way is not my way. You're fighting everything all over. And then the other people that really want to get out the basement, they're like, oh, you know, let's go over here and let's go up the steps where they're killing each other down there. You know, because sooner or later they'll also go upstairs too. So you don't have to stay there with them until they decide to go upstairs. Which is another popular error that people make.
Yeah.
You know, is that, you know, they think that they got to drag the person with them. You know, who doesn't want to go, by the way. As a matter of fact, they're telling you, you crazy for wanting to go. And you, so you crazy for trying to stay there to get them to go. So they are right, you are crazy. They're not really different from them. You know, the house is on fire, the house is on fire. I'm telling you the house is on fire. I want to get out the fire. The house is on fire. Well, I think you're crazy. I don't think the house is on fire. I believe the way out of here is the other way. And I'm going to argue with you, even though we see the smoke and we see the fire and it's falling down on us. And then I go, well, I'm not going to leave until you leave. How many of y'all would make that statement? The person is fighting you, saying they don't want to go with you. They think you're crazy. And you go, well, I'm going to stay in the fire until you decide to leave. No, I would try to get out of the fire and see if I could come up with some way for them to be rescued.
Sounds a lot like my early relationships.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the approach that many people have to the truth goes something like this: my house is on fire. The fire department came. They'll come to rescue me. The roof is about to cave in on me, but I will not go with the fireman until he tells me how the fire got started. And that's the way most people are. It's like I'm miserable, I'm unhappy, I really want to get out of this situation, but I need you to stay with me and talk to me about how I got this way in the first place. So let's analyze my childhood, my last 10 relationships, what went on. It's like, the house is burning down, but tell me, now what happened when I was 3 years old? Wouldn't it make a lot more sense to get you out of the burning house, and then when you're far away from the fire, then if you want to talk about that, that'd be cool? Well, that's what the course is saying. I'll tell you what you could do right here and now to change your perception and therefore change your life. This is what you do. You do A, B, C, D, E. Then we go, well, I don't believe that, but you can show me exactly how all of this came about in the first place. That's the same as you won't get out the house until they tell you how the fire got started. When you could get out tonight. All of us could get out tonight. This book says it all through the book. At any instant, you could leave the fear. At any instant, you could have peace. But I don't love myself enough to do what's necessary to allow me to have peace tonight. I still think I need to be punished a little bit, so I'll say, in about 6 more months, things will get better. So whenever you say stuff like that, what you've just done is you just sentenced yourself to 6 more months of unfulfillment. And you know what? When you become more awakened, you realize that everybody's sentencing themselves and carrying out their own sentence, and only they can pardon themselves, and you're always willing to do it, but you know they have to do it on their own. So more conscious beings just observe and love and don't interfere. So the more conscious you become, the less you interfere with people. The more conscious you become, the more you give them a choice, but then you honor the choice that they make. Because the sooner they crash, the sooner they'll be ready. But if you interfere by trying to save them before they're ready to be saved, then they're going to spend a lot of time battling you. And you probably just slowed them down. I've talked to many people who work in programs that have to do with various forms of addiction. And the one thing that I've heard more than anything else over the last 30 years is that the people who in most cases get the most serious about changing are the ones who really hit the hardest rock friggin' bottom. And the ones who kind of sorta are the ones who tend to do it over and over and over again. And I see that that's true in every walk of life. The people that come to my class that are kind of happy but not too happy, not too miserable, they don't tend to have the fire. The person that's had the last relationship that really screwed them around, they want a way out. The person that's tired of being broke for real, they want another way. The person that's tired of feeling alone and separate from their source for real, they want a way out. And they'll be about it. But sort of having people, that's why to be spiritually strong in America, to me, I think is an incredible achievement. There are so many distractions here and so many toys and so many things that we can do to play that anybody that would take the time to come to a class like you did tonight, I have nothing but the utmost respect for, because why should you? Unless there's something inside you to guide you or moves you to do that. You know, there's so many other things you could be doing, especially if you're not suffering, you know. But I believe that some souls come here knowing this is crazy as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. They come here knowing that this couldn't possibly be the way we've been taught. They have an inner feeling that this isn't home. They know we should be loving each other and we should be treating each other with respect, and it doesn't matter what color, what sex, what race, what your background. Some of us instinctively are still conscious of that universal truth about all of us, and those are the kind of people that end up coming to a course class. There's something in them that's awake, that never went completely asleep like everybody else did. And we need support. And we need a place we can come that is not crazy to talk about love and talk about peace and being responsible and being creative, and it's okay to be who you are, and we do have guidance, and we're more than just bodies that die, and you don't feel like you're crazy for daring to be around people who are talking that way. Who knows it's not about sin and guilt and condemnation and prejudice and attack. They know it in their gut, and they want to live it, and they want to experience it. So this is going to be a place for us to experience it once a week. You know, that's why it doesn't matter what I say. The beauty is that we joined. It doesn't. That's okay. I think it's great to acknowledge something that's cool. Thank you. It's appreciation is how you keep things going.
Yeah.
That's the other thing it took me friggin' 50 years to learn. It's just simple friggin' appreciation. I appreciate what you did. It is wonderful. I think it was great. I really, really, really am grateful for what you just did for me. I loved it. We'll keep it in your life. You'd be amazed at how much study it takes for people to get that little simple truth. Because people think it's just the opposite. If I point out every one of your lacks and what you need to change and what you need to fill up, then you're going to be this real cool person that I can show you I'm grateful for. Anybody recognize that one? Okay, that goes with the world of fear. And the trick about love that the Course teaches is that love waits on, he says, love waits on welcome, not on time. It's not about how much time it takes for you to be good enough for love to come to you. It's about how much can I open myself up and feel like I deserve it and welcome it into my life. Because love never enters anything of its own volition. And what I mean by that is that when someone loves you, they would never force themselves on you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So if I was really interested in you and you rejected me in any way or you said I was not the right person for you, if I cared about you, I would honor that and I would leave. Okay, now, if I didn't really love you and I wasn't really extending love, you say, Earl, I don't want to spend any time with you. And I say, oh, a challenge. And then I try to seduce you and I try every way I could to change your mind and get you to... So I might finally look like I succeeded. But it wasn't based on love. So just watch and see how long that relationship lasts or how much real peace is in it. It never is. Because it wasn't love. Somebody who's forcing their energy on you when you've said you don't want it would only do that if it was fear. Because a person who knows there's plenty of love would never waste time trying to get it where it's not. That's part of being conscious, is that you go where what you want is located. Unconsciousness. I want it out of what and where is not available. Conscious? Unconscious.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You know. So consequently, the people in my life are open to me and I'm open to them, and we have a great time together and we honor each other's feelings. And most of the people in my life, they'll say stuff like, you know, I'm inviting you to a party tomorrow. But if you can't make it, I want you to feel totally innocent about that. You know, this is just an invitation. If you don't come, that's all right. If you're totally innocent, don't feel an ounce of guilt. Now, in the old world, I want to invite you to a party. If you don't come, girl, you're really going to let me down. Because remember, I came to your party. See, that's where fear talks. And the course teaches you how to tell the difference between a fearful voice and a loving voice so that you can start choosing for the love. Because it says that we don't know the difference. And if we really knew the difference, we wouldn't call so much fear to ourselves. Because we actually think we're calling love to ourselves. Mm-hmm. How many times have you thought that person was the perfect person and you found out later they was a nightmare on 2 feet? Right. And so why did you choose them? Because you didn't recognize fear. You thought it was love. And this book teaches you how to tell the difference. I think it's just incredible. It's just incredible. So the Course says at the point you have a sufficient quantitative change... At the point that you have a sufficient quantitative change, then that's when you have a qualitative shift. Now, how do I explain that? Picture a scale. Okay, this is you all. All right, you got the old man, you got the new man. You're coming in here and you're dropping in these new thoughts. Every time you come in, you're dropping in some new thoughts. Every time you come in, you're dropping in some new thoughts. But at some point, you're going to tip the scale. There's going to be a sufficient quantitative change to bring about a qualitative shift.
Wow.
So therefore, it can seem like you're studying this stuff and it's not doing any good. You're studying this stuff and nothing's really changing. You're studying this stuff and nothing's really healing. You're studying this stuff, but that's the same as dropping stuff into the scale, but it hasn't gotten to the point that it tips yet. So every time you focus on the truth, every time you love yourself, every time you say no to things you would have said yes to that would have hurt you, you are putting the quantitative shift in the love perception. And sooner or later, and when you least expect it, you could be going through King Super, and you said that last loving thought you needed to say to yourself. And then all of a sudden, whew, you're right in the store, and all of a sudden, all you feel is peace and love. And that's all you see around you. And that's the only way that people are treating you. And you're like kind of tripping for a minute. You know, I mean, I was on the elevator one day with this guy, looked like this motorcycle gang kind of guy. He just snapped my head. This is soon as look at me. And I was like, okay, let peace stand for my mind and yours. This is really just me. I've had a quantitative shift. I believe that everything around me is me, even though it doesn't look like me. This guy looked up at me and said, you know, we need to respect each other and love each other no matter how we look, because you know what? We're all one in the end. And I'm like, and this started to happen so often that it got kind of freaky to me, because if I'm with somebody on a one-on-one, I don't care who they are. Like, I just met a young lady last night for the first time from some friends of mine. First time we met. And she was just talking regular talk, like she wasn't, you know, really, you know, into truth and all that stuff. And soon as she and I First of all, I always make it a point to try to give and receive love as soon as I come into a situation, because that's what my role is if I want to be taken care of, because that's what lets me be taken care of. It's to fulfill my function for being born, which is your function for being born, which is to give and receive love. Now, you can do it in any way you want to do it, which you would call your career objectives. Okay, so that part of you that needs to figure out what you're going to do in the world, that's cool. Just realize that no matter what form your personality takes in the world, it still has the same function as everybody else, to give and receive love. That's why we're here. You can do it through being a mailman. You can do it through being an artist. But it's to give and receive love. So when I walk into a room, that's the first thing I try to do. Well, let me be used as an instrument for giving and receiving love. Okay, so I had already made that decision. So as soon as she and I was alone, then she was talking about, you know, all of a sudden she went into, it's about understanding these false constructs that we've created in the world outside of ourselves to realize that the unity and the oneness that we have underneath that. And I'm like sitting over there, don't you think? And I said, thank you. I said, I love it when you talk dirty. And so, because that's my 900 conversation. That's my 900 number conversation. You want to get Earl turned on, you talk some truth to Earl. And you'll see some passion. You know, you talk that old regular world and crazy stuff, and I will never be attracted to you. Because I know you're going to be a source of pain and conflict for me, no matter how good you look. If you're crazy, I don't want nobody to stab me just because they look like a movie star. And that's the same as wanting to be with an insane person just because they look good. You're still hurting yourself. Just because they look good doesn't make the knife hurt any less. So you want to go for a mind that's got some sense and some peace and some love coming through that body. So I'm much more now into the mind than the body. Let me tell you, for that to happen to me, that was a course in miracles. That's why they call it a miracle for me. I know that was deeper than parting the Red Sea for Purdy. Let me tell you. When I get to the point, the mind is more important than the body. But guess what? The bodies that come with these same minds are always the perfect bodies. It's amazing. And then the more you love, you see there are no imperfect bodies. Then all of a sudden you realize that, you know, when you're looking through the eyes of love, everybody looks good. It's not about any particular body type in order for you to be moved and turned on. And I'm looking for the people who can look beyond the body as I get older. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to be around people who can't see my intrinsic value because my hair doesn't look right that I used to have. You know, it's like I want the love, I want the heart. So the point that I'm making is that as soon as she and I got through talking and we went back into the group situation, she switched right back into regular speak. And I don't even think that she may even remember the conversation that she had with me. Wow. But what I'm seeing over and over again is what the Course taught. It says when you change on the inside, then you'll see the Holy Spirit speaking to you through every single person that you meet. And that's what I'm seeing happen in my life, that everybody's now beginning to tell me the truth, whether they ever tell anybody else the truth or not. So therefore, my relationships with the people in my life are cool. Now, somebody else might ask for something else out of that person. That very same person might be hell for somebody else because they don't realize that other person, that's what they're tuning into. You're tuning into people what isn't healed in yourself. And they're just triggering what's already in you. They're not actually causing it. They're just triggering it so that you can be aware of what's inside your own mind that needs to be healed. So everybody around us are triggers. And that's deep deception, that too. Because you'll swear that it's not in you. They made you mad. Well, there had to be something in you that was capable of being angry for you to get angry. So what they made you aware of is that you got some unhealed parts of yourself that you need to take a look at. And when you heal that part of yourself, you won't need to trigger no more and they'll be gone.
Wow.
That's the way it works.
Wow.
It's just the new learning is just the opposite of the old learning. And so that's what I'm focusing on in my classes more and more. That's why I'm going deeper and deeper into this stuff like I'm doing. That's why I'm doing the advanced mind training seminars once a month, because I want to go to another level of love and truth. And I want to join with other people who are tired of the insanity of their mind that they see as being the outside world, and they're tired of blaming everybody else, and they love themselves enough to invest as much time in their own healing as they do into everything else, and then this becomes a priority over some spiritual path, And then they'll get the transformation that they've been praying for. And that's what I want to happen for you. Thanks for coming tonight.
And hearing.
Yeah. Whoa. Woo. Woo. If you get a chance, if you get a chance, read the next section called The Voice for God. I'm going to start on that Sunday. I'm going to be working on chapter 5. I'm just going to be working through chapter 5. So even if you can't come to every class, if you're reading it, whenever you can come, you'll still be in tune. What we just shared, so that you can walk out with a thought to go with. The main thought I'd like you to go out with tonight is that you are not alone. That you're not alone, that you have a guide. I want you to introduce the idea to yourself that you have an inner guide. That inner guide is not necessarily something or someone outside of yourself. So therefore, I'm not trying to be your leader. And neither do I want to be your follower, neither do I want you to be my follower, and neither do I want to be your leader. I want us to walk side by side so neither one of us will be alone. But I want you to introduce the idea of the Holy Spirit to your mind tonight, because ideas manifest. And when you focus on an idea, it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, and it starts to manifest in your physical reality. So I would like for you to focus on the idea that there is a part of you that is pure love. There is a part of you that is innocent. There's a part of you that is all-knowing. There's a part of you that's linked to the God that created you with love. And you don't have to know exactly how to contact it at this moment. You don't even have to know how to necessarily recognize its voice. What you want to do tonight is make a commitment to remove all the blocks that's within your mind that keeps you from recognizing the voice. So you want to tell yourself that you are actually entitled to love, that you are entitled to peace because of who you are as a child of God, that it isn't something you have to earn. It's what you deserve because of who you are. There is love and there is fear. And you want to learn the difference between the two so that you can recognize beforehand when you're getting ready to take yourself into something that could cause you pain in order for you not to do it. The people that are still in the fear mind are just calling for love and help. They're not to be condemned. They're not to be judged. They're just frightened. And frightened people can be vicious. So they're calling for help. So when you leave out tonight, tell yourself, if I'm not happy about something, I hope I'm wrong. If I'm not feeling peace, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, and I want another way to look at this. So whatever situation is causing you any trepidation, tell yourself, I want another way of looking at this. I want another way of looking at this. I want another way of looking at this. I want another way of looking at her. I want another way of looking at her. I want another way of looking at him. I want another way of looking at him. I want another way of looking at myself. I want another way of looking at myself. I want another way. I want another way. I'm open. I want another way. Next class is Sunday at 1 o'clock. Wednesdays at 12 noon. Thursdays at 7 o'clock. You're welcome to come anytime. And may the course be with you. And I'll see you next time. Holy Spirit. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. For the lab is waiting. The lab.